Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the IA Cast. All right, on this episode, it's a very special episode. I'm Michael Dowies. I'm here solo again. And I am here on a different microphone, as I'm sure you can tell. I am on the Vision Pro recording this podcast into the Voice Memos app. This is a very fun episode, and I've been wanting to do this one for a while. And so I'm really excited to be doing this. And I've been told that the Vision Pro sounds amazing on microphones. And so we're going to put that to the test today. Okay. So I'm recording this with Voice Memos. I'm not using just press record. I may have to try that one day and see if there's any difference, see if the microphones are any different. But basically, I just have the podcast being recorded through Voice Memos, which is an iOS app on the Vision Pro. And so today's IA Cast, I wanted to just talk about the Vision Pro. I've had it, about a month now. And I've loved every minute of having it. It, of course, has its drawbacks. But, you know, it's just a very remarkable headset. And so, you know, you'll be able to judge how it sounds. I don't know if people have listened to the IA Cast since its beginning, but there was I think it was episode 6, where we recorded the podcast from the Apple Watch. And so this is kind of a throwback to that, right? Where we recorded the podcast on an Apple device to show off its microphones. And that's kind of what we're doing today with this episode of the show. You know, we're not going to do a lot of edits. We're not going to do a lot of that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm kind of envisioning this for even unboxings. It'll be really cool to unbox stuff with this on. In fact, that's going to be fantastic for YouTube and things like that. It's unboxing things. So I guess I should talk about the process, like, does VoiceOver work with this? And yes, it does. It really does. Now, I need to post the unboxing to our feed. But one of the things that I've noticed with these glasses, I have nystagmus, so eye tracking does not work for me. So I had to enable pointer control. And that helps out a lot. VoiceOver kind of does head tracking for pointer control instead of using eye movements. So that's a very important thing to note. I have not set up my persona yet, but that's coming. But the eye tracking is a pain if you have nystagmus. I don't know how much of an issue it is if you do not have a nystagmus and you're just legally blind. So all of those things are worth, you know, exploring more for people with other visual impairments. But for me, that doesn't work. But VoiceOver allows you to do gestures where you could go to the next item with thumb and index finger, previous item thumb with middle finger, and select with thumb and ring finger. Or you could use two hands to do your navigation with your right hand and you're selecting with your left. I got very confused when doing that. And the other thing with VoiceOver that I found very difficult to do is, what if I just want to sit there and watch TV? If VoiceOver's on, every little hand movement you do, it's going to take as a gesture. So it's a little annoying. So I feel like that needs to be refined a bit for VoiceOver users. Maybe have a mode where, you know, you're just using your glasses, you know, just look, you know, listening or things like that. Or maybe you just need to know to turn off VoiceOver. All of those things are something that you may, you know, that we really just don't know, right? What are the best use cases? I am not a continuous VoiceOver user, so I'm not the best one to make those kind of decisions, but this is so cool. I'm able to watch my waveform as I talk and record the podcast through voice memos, and, you know, you could see that it's coming in really well. So I've just been very impressed with this setup. One thing about this thing, if you leave it on all day, it will die. But it will last about 24 hours if you just leave it plugged, like unplugged, on standby. So the battery is worth it. If you're just using it on battery and you're using the device, then yes, it will die pretty quickly. So those are things you got to keep in mind. But VoiceOver seems to be very responsive with it. And the cool thing is, as I'm doing things with the glasses, VoiceOver will move based on where I'm looking at. So it's kind of like that positional audio that we have with like Apple Music, but with VoiceOver. So like if an app starts talking and I'm not focused on it, it will start speaking off to my left or right, which is really cool. I think the most interesting experience I've had with the Vision Pro is when I made a FaceTime call to one of our IAcast hosts, Angie Fisher. She sounded right, you know, in the room with me for the most part. I mean, there's some ambience and other stuff that comes with just being on speakers. But the issue, wasn't an issue, it actually was a good thing. One of the things that happened was that she said, why don't you see how you're going to sound if you walk outside? Because we were testing the microphones. And so I did that. I walked outside and she sounded far away. And we're like, why is that? Why does she sound far away? And it's because basically I left the window in the apartment. And so I could barely hear her while in the apartment. So I held down the digital crown and it brought the window to me and I could hear her again. So when I walked back in the apartment, it sounded like, I held onto her window, her FaceTime window. So it actually kept it with me. And that's very interesting. Another thing that was I'm into computers. Everybody knows I'm really into this stuff. I know how it works, okay? But I was visiting family last week, and I had a TV, my Apple TV screen, near an exercise bike at my mother's house, okay? Then I went out to an event, or we went out to eat, and showed them some things on the Vision Pro, okay? And then I came back to the same space, and that TV screen was right where I left it. How does it know? I would really like somebody to answer this question. How does it know? How does it know not to move the TV back to where I am? Could I leave things, like, could I go to different people's houses and just leave windows at their houses? Is that a thing I can do? Like, go to different parts of the world and just leave little windows and things at that would just blow my mind if you can do that. Because if you can do that, then you have beacon technology built right into Vision Pro. And I'm just kind of coming to this realization recording this podcast. And that's another thing, too, that I'm really kind of interested in. I have a hard time doing presentations and actually collecting my thoughts and doing that kind of thing, sitting in front of my computer and a microphone. But I'm not having that issue with this. I feel like I'm doing a presentation, a proper podcast, or anything that I would be doing if I was doing an in-person presentation with the Vision Pro on. Why is that? What is the formula that makes this different from doing a podcast on a standard microphone? And if that's the case, then I need to figure out how I can set up the IAcast radio station to work with the Vision Pro. I'm wondering if would the Vision Pro allow, like, incentivize me to do more podcasts because I can just stand here and do a presentation to people. I wonder if that's the case. And then I'm wondering if you could use remote cameras with you wearing this. I mean, yes, you'd be standing there with these ski goggle looking things on your face and you wouldn't be able to present, but I look I mean, I'm just being honest here. I look blind anyway. So they're not really missing anything by seeing my eyes blocked off by a big, huge Vision Pro, right? So I get very passionate and excited about this thing because I don't quite understand the magic. Well, okay, it's not magic. It's technology. It's spatial computing. We know this. But how does this spatial computing work? How, if I left something at a, kind of makes me wonder, did I leave Windows at that restaurant? I don't think I did. And then what happens when we can open multiple of the same app, right? What happens when we can do that and leave different apps in different places? Or can we do that already? That's where I'm kind of amazed at what we can do, right? So do I think there's a lot of use for Vision Pro for every use case right now? No, I don't. I don't think there is. But for the people that, you know, really enjoy this kind of thing, that enjoy early adopting, that enjoy that kind of stuff, it's fantastic. And for low vision users, I can see things better with the Vision Pro on. For some reason, the light, the white screen of the iPad, even like the white light of dark mode while reading, hurts my eyes after a while. And the Vision Pro will mute that light. Now, I tried to read a book in the Books app. I could not get it to work the way I wanted it to. But, you know, it'd be kind of neat to have voiceover reading a book or audible reading a book and it'd be behind you and you're doing stuff in other windows. That's the power of this thing, right? That's the power of the Vision Pro. It's multitasking to a new level. The other thing that I heard, I was doing something in an app and I was trying to click on something or do something. And I heard a sound that typically is on the Mac. And so I guess another question I have, is this based off iOS or is the Vision Pro based off macOS? Is VoiceOver on the Vision Pro based on the iOS VoiceOver or is it based on the Vision OS? Is it iOS VoiceOver or is it based on a macOS's VoiceOver? Because I feel like since it's using the M2, it could use either one at this point. So we really don't know. I mean, I'm sure we could figure it out, but I would be very curious to know what VoiceOver is or what OS, Vision OS is based on, because that would be a good indication as to what the capabilities of this are, right? And what it can do in the future. So I would be very curious if people knew the answer to that. And I think we may bring that back on a different podcast. I'll be doing more podcasts from the Vision Pro. I don't know why I've enjoyed this so much, but it really has been a great experience doing a podcast from the Vision Pro. I can even keep track of how long I've been recording, things like that. And if my battery would have been charged, I would have actually been walking around the apartment while recording this episode. And that's kind of the neat thing about this is I've heard the microphones. They're fantastic microphones. And so just being able to record audio and do that kind of stuff on the Vision Pro is fantastic. And I'm very glad I've been putting this off. I've been meaning to record this podcast for the IAcast for quite some time. And I'm going to, when I edit and publish this, I'm going to use Auphonic as I typically do, but I'm going to turn off all of the filtering so people can hear what this sounds like so that you can experience the microphone quality of the Vision Pro as naturally as it can. I have not put on my devices on Do Not Disturb. I've been getting texts and notifications and other things just so that we can see what comes through in the recording, what does not. Excuse me. And I'm going to even leave coughs and other things in just to see what it filters, what it gets, what it does not get, just so that people get a good understanding of the Vision Pro and how things sound. That was weird. My screen just kind of jumped up and down for a second. And it's weird because I'm looking at the Voice Memos app with magnification on. And it looks like, it feels like there's something in front of me. Even, I don't know if it's actually the case, but it even sounds like something's in front of me, which I don't think it actually is, you know. But you kind of get this vibe that something is there. There's a lot of apps that are only on, that there's a lot of apps still that are iOS only apps. So podcasts, voice memos, maps, calendar, podcast, books, shortcuts are all still iOS apps. They have not transferred a lot of these over to Vision OS, which is kind of a shame because that would be kind of nice to, you know, not have this giant glaring window that's, you know, an iOS app. And they put them in a compatible apps folder, and there's a lot. So you're just going to have to get used to seeing apps that have not been converted over in that compatible apps folder. There's still quite a few Apple apps, I think. I mean, they've done a lot for the initial launch, but there's still a lot that have not been converted. So they're going to look great when they are, though. And I'm curious. I'm really excited for Vision OS 1.2 to see what we get. Obviously, the 2.0 release is where it's going to be at. And I have a feeling most apps will be converted at that point, because I think what's going to happen is that a lot of those apps will be, it'll be the same UI for iOS as it is for Vision OS. And that kind of has me concerned for certain apps that are not built for, you know, I think React Native and other platforms, they're going to be fine. But apps like Cordova apps and things like that, that rely on, you know, non-standard components, they may not look the greatest in Vision OS, but we'll see. We will see how that works. I'm going to be very curious where that's going to go with that. But, you know, there's apps that you can run shortcuts. There's a status bar app. There's Instacart has now been made into a Vision OS app. There is, you know, HBO Max, just called Max now. I would love to see, there's TikTok. I don't think you can record TikToks yet from the Vision Pro. And, you know, that may not even stay in the App Store soon, but we're going to not talk about that. There's third-party YouTube apps. I believe one of them is called Juno, that you can get for the Vision Pro. You can go to YouTube in the browser. The one thing about using the keyboard on the Vision Pro is that the keyboard in Vision Pro, you cannot type with your thumbs. You cannot type fast with it. You have to go from each letter to the next, to the next, to the next. No matter if you're using pointer control, which is what I use, or not, it doesn't really matter. You have to do that regardless of what you're doing. So I think that that is one of the areas where people would like to see some improvement. I'm totally personally fine with the way it works, but, you know, people always want to see change. So that's fine. I'm just not going to type much with my Vision Pro, or I'll dictate, or I will use a keyboard. Dictation works pretty well for me, but I would use a like a Magic Keyboard that's Bluetooth or something like that to make that work. So my favorite apps on here so far are the TV app, voice memos. I have not really used podcasts. I've used Discord on here, which is an iOS app only. It is not a Vision OS app, which would be great. Zoom I've used, but I have not seen it have all the features that Zoom typically has at this point of time of recording. But, I mean, it works. It works okay. FaceTime works like a charm. So you're going to be fine with FaceTime. I like it a lot. Let's see. Messages has worked great. In fact, I can quickly take a picture or a video with the Vision Pro, and I have done so, and share them pretty quickly through messages. Now, one thing that I've found, and this is of note for low vision blind users, pictures on here typically come out blurry depending on the lighting. You need really good lighting for stuff to come out great on the Vision Pro. I'm not sure why that is. I'm not sure why you need good lighting for things to come out well on here, but you do. So that is kind of a concern. So if you're going to use a Vision Pro and take pictures, and you know, when Be My Eyes gets opened up and things like that, you really want to make sure that you have good lighting in your environment, or else the quality will not look the greatest. You could also, you know, there's loads of videos out there to talk about all the accessibility features. You can make it to where you could see the entire screen through one eye. I would like it if I can make both eyes be the same thing. So I may have to play with that. So if I'm looking with one eye, because I can't look through one, you know, both eyes at the same time. But if I do want to look through my left eye, I would like to be able to see the same thing as my right eye. So that would be pretty interesting to do. And then, you know, some little things like that. Of course, I'm always waiting for, you know, the Vision Pro does not have magnification features outside of windows. So they call that mode the pass-through, where you could see your environment. Pass-through magnification would be fantastic. I would really, really love that. So, yeah. You know, the other thing that if you are a Vision Pro user and you want more battery, you know, you can buy extra batteries, and that will last you about 2 days, depending on how much you use your Vision Pro. So, you know, people give the Vision Pro a lot of grief comparing it to the Meta Quest series. And yes, the Quests are cheaper, but do they have accessibility? I couldn't do any of this on a Meta Quest 2. I couldn't. I could not. And so maybe the Quest 3 or the Quest Pro, whichever, may have had some of these features that would allow me to do the same thing. But I'm not going to spend the money if I don't think I'm going to get any use out of it. And, you know, with the Vision Pro, I feel like I've gotten my money's worth in having it a month, because it's made me connect with other humans better than if I didn't have it. I understand by watching an 80-inch TV a lot closer to my face what a smile looks like, what a frown looks like, how the muscles in the face make those expressions. And that could not be captured in anything for me other than the Vision Pro. And that's huge. That was why I wanted it, because I knew it would open up possibilities for me that it did not open up for others. And, you know, everybody that has full vision are saying, well, you know, it doesn't do much. It has better resolution. It doesn't do much more than other headsets do. But for somebody like me, I was able to look at my family members and actually see the expressions on their faces on FaceTime calls. I could see when somebody was wearing makeup or lipstick or things like that that I could not see normally. Those little bitty things were worth the $4,000 for me. I know other people may say it's not worth that for me, but for me it was. And it makes it to where I'm more approachable without the glasses on, because I understand what I might be seeing, what a person might want to see when they're talking to me. And that's important. That is very important to me. And I guess what's really incredible is this is a version 1. What's version 2 going to be like? What's Vision OS version 2 going to do for me or for others or for anybody? What's version 3 going to do? What's version 4 going to do? Is this the iPhone? Is this the same as the iPhone? I don't know. But it is for me. The iPhone changed my life. The Apple Watch changed my life as far as my health. This is changing my life as far as connection with people in person and online. And I think that we need to give Apple the kudos and you know, keep it up. Maybe it's not going to be the success for the mainstream. But it does have its use cases where it is very useful for some, like myself, and others who have low vision that need that extra bit. And to Apple, I say thank you. Thank you for doing this. I mean, I'm an Apple fanboy, I admit it. you know, I have Google devices and I work for, you know, do Android stuff. I use Chrome for, you know, the desktop and things like that. But Apple has really treated me well, and they've given me opportunities beyond what I thought possible. And I'm very appreciative of them, of others, you know, who I've worked with, different companies. And I think that instead of criticizing and pushing companies down, we need to lift each other up. And I don't think that we do. We're too critical these days. We need to be more uplifting and help these companies be or provide better products. Maybe the Vision Pro will help Meta understand, here's how we can make spatial computing on our platforms more accessible and cost effective, so that one day I can spend $500 on a Quest and be able to benefit from it. Maybe one day I can spend, you know, a lot less to do a lot more, whereas right now I can't do that. So we're going to be starting a podcast called Spatial Insights. It will also be part of the iCast feed for now. So it'll be in both places. So we'll be doing a lot of Vision Pro stuff there, talking about spatial computing, things like that. So this is going to be posted in three different places, folks. So iCast, IACast, Spatial Insights feeds, all of those. So this will be kind of the inaugural episode of those. So we'll be doing a lot more Vision Pro content, and this has been a great episode. My pick for this week is the Vision Pro. If you want to find me online, you could find me as Mike Doeys pretty much everywhere. Mike Doeys at techopolis.social. That's MikeDoise. I'm Mike Doeys on X. I'm Mike Doeys on pretty much all the platforms. Michael Doeys on Facebook. You can email me at MikeDoeys@iCloud.com, and you could find all of our information for the show at the end here. I want to thank everybody for listening, and please leave us any feedback at feedback@iacast.net. This has been a great episode, and we'll be back soon for another IACast. And, you know, I was able to keep this to about 30 minutes, and I was worried that I wouldn't have 10 minutes of content. But just standing here, you know, being able to look around my room and have that kind of visual stimuli, I guess you could say, while recording this with the Vision Pro helped me keep this going. So I hope this has been good content. I want to provide more of this about the Vision Pro and other things. I also have started streaming on Twitch and doing different programming things. So check me out there, twitch.tv/MikeDoeys, I think. And Taylor Arndt is Tay Arndt on Twitch. So check her out. She's doing all kinds of cool stuff. But again, this will end this episode of the IX, and we will see you. Well, this will end two different episodes. But this, we will see you on the next episode of whatever feed you're listening to. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to the IACast. We hope you enjoyed the show and found the conversation to be insightful and informative. If you have any feedback or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us an email at feedback@iacast.net. You can also follow us on Twitter @IACastNetwork to stay informed about new episodes and other updates. Don't forget to check out more great podcasts on the IACast Network, IACast.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.